Good morning. Thanks all for coming to our early morning session on Monday. I'm Kate Carricker-Jaffe, and I'm presenting research that I conducted in coordination with my co-authors, Vanji Foshi and Susan Ennett at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I would like to start out by saying I don't have any personal financial relationships to disclose, but I would like to mention our funding sources. My research support was funded through NIAAA and the CDC, and the original Context of Adolescent Substance Use study was funded by NIDA and the CDC. So in this presentation, I'm going to be describing the developmental trajectories of depression in a sample of rural adolescent girls, and I want to also talk about the influence of neighborhood factors on these trajectories. Now, to start off, I wanted to talk a little bit about why we're even talking about neighborhood effects on mental health outcomes. Neighborhoods do differ in both physical and social resources available to support the development of adolescents. And in this way, neighborhoods are important influences on both health and behavior. We can all think of some neighborhoods in our own communities that are better places to live than others. When we're talking specifically about distress and depression among adolescents, there have only been a few studies that have looked at neighborhood influence on these mental health outcomes. We do know that neighborhood disadvantage has been positively associated with adolescent distress, and both disadvantage and disorganization have been shown to predict children's internalizing symptoms. The objective of our specific study was to examine the contribution of the neighborhood context to the development over time of depression in the sample of rural adolescent girls. And our study is unique in its emphasis on both rural areas, young women only, and on depression trajectories over time. Our model informing the study was a psychosocial resources model. And basically, this posits that chronic stressors have adverse impacts by depleting coping resources. Neighborhood stressors in particular can cause emotional strain. When we're talking about socioeconomic disadvantage, things like neighborhood poverty or low levels of educational attainment or high levels of unemployment in a community, these represent a lack of physical resources available to support growth and development. The social aspect of neighborhood we capture with social disorganization, and this is involving more of the interpersonal characteristics of a neighborhood, support for teenage development, and for the families living in the community. We chose to investigate depression in the context of a trajectory study. Our trajectory study uses random effects models, which are also called latent growth curve analyses. Now, these models use repeated measures of behavior to depict change over time. And the models end up describing three different dimensions of the behavioral trajectories. We have the initial level, or the intercept, which suggests the age at which a program has started. Then we also look at the rate of change over time, or the linear slope. And in the case of quadratic trajectories that increase and then decrease, we have a peak age that shows the point where the trajectory starts to change direction and the symptoms start to subside. And we're also able to assess the predictors of these different elements of the trajectories. When we're talking about longitudinal trajectory studies among adolescents, we do know that the development of depression is different for boys and girls. For girls, depression typically increases between ages 12 and 18 and then starts to decrease in late adolescence or in early adulthood. Our specific hypotheses were that the girls' depression trajectories would show higher initial levels and later peak ages of distress in disadvantaged or disorganized neighborhoods. Again, the initial levels indicate about the age of problem development. Earlier problems would show higher levels of initial aggression or depression in our sample. And then the peak ages represent the age that the problem is starting to resolve. Our data come from three counties in rural North Carolina. We conducted in-school surveys of all the schools in the county, all eligible students. We also did telephone interviews with a randomly sampled cohort of parents, and we geocoded and linked address information for the girls in the study with U.S. Census indicators. Our particular analysis here uses measures of depression from the five waves of the in-school surveys. We have telephone interview data from parents at wave one describing the social characteristics of the neighborhood, and the U.S. Census data to describe levels of disadvantage in the neighborhood. Our sample includes a little bit over 2,500 girls. Obviously, we're excluding males. We're also excluding anyone who did not complete a wave one survey, who was younger than age 11 or older than 16 and a half at baseline, because they're a little out of the regular range for 6th to 8th grade. Anyone who is missing their age or the wave one geocode also could not be included. The average age of our sample at baseline was 13 years old, and we have 128 neighborhoods in our sample, which we defined using U.S. Census block groups. As you see, the race ethnicity of the girls, about 52% were white, 38% were black, and 10% were Latinas or another race or ethnicity, the majority of those being multiracial. Our outcome measure looked at symptoms of depression and anxiety experienced in the past 3 months. We had 10 items assessing things such as emotional feelings like I did everything wrong or I worried about what was going to happen to me. The responses range from 0 to 4, strongly disagree to strongly agree with a neutral midpoint. Our responses were averaged because the Cronbach alpha was quite high at 0.88. The wave one average was 1.4 and the wave five was 1.6. The neighborhood disadvantage measure came from the U.S. Census, as I mentioned before. We had 6 indicators of education, employment, and economic resources in the neighborhood. The reliability for this was also quite good with an alpha of 0.88. We averaged those together, and you can see here that the wave one average was 25% disadvantaged neighborhoods. Neighborhood social disorganization was measured a little bit differently. We used the parent report data. We had 3 different subscales. One was looking at social bonds between adults in the neighborhood. This is basically how much time residents were spending interacting with other people who lived in their neighborhood. We also had elements of social control, which is basically the willingness of adults in the community to intervene in the event of some sort of problem, like teenagers smoking or fighting in the community. And also we had indicators of crime, which typically goes together with disadvantaged neighborhoods and sort of indicates a level of disorganization and a lack of control. Each of these 3 subscales had good reliability, about 0.75. And when we were putting together these scales, because it was using the parent report data, we used a latent variable approach that accounted for the different respondent characteristics, such as education level, socioeconomic status of the women or the parents who are primarily women who are reporting on their neighborhood environments. And we adjusted for those in our calculation of the summary score for social disorganization. Because we had a longitudinal study, we replaced our missing data using multiple imputation procedures, both within waves and between waves. We use multi-level random effects models, as I mentioned, and these models use repeated measures of depression nested within individuals who are nested within neighborhoods. Our models all had control variables to adjust for the demographic characteristics of the girls, as well as for indicators of geocoding accuracy. And in our models, we used interaction terms with the neighborhood variables, allowing us to assess the impact of the neighborhood variable on both the intercept as well as the rate of change and peak age of symptoms. And you'll see later that we removed insignificant interactions so that we could interpret the effects that remained. Here are our bivariate relationships. And you can see on line one that depression had a quite modest but statistically significant relationship with both of our neighborhood indicators, positive correlation, suggesting higher rates of depression in disadvantaged and disorganized neighborhoods. You can also see here on the second line that disadvantage and disorganization were quite highly correlated with each other. So our multivariate models proceed looking at the effects of each of these neighborhood characteristics separately. This is our first multivariate model. Just to orient you to what's going on here, our intercept represents an initial level of depression. so it's significantly higher than zero. The H term represents the linear change in aggression over time, depression over time, and you can see that it is significant and positive. The age squared term would represent any quadratic trend in the data, and although there's a negative coefficient, it's not statistically significant. And then you see here a small but significant effect of neighborhood disadvantage on the trajectories. And because it's just the main effect of disadvantage, it shows the influence was primarily on the initial levels of depression and not on the linear quadratic terms. Similarly, social disorganization was positively related to the initial levels of depression, but that effect only approached significance. But you can see here that the trajectories of depression had a similar shape, similar initial levels, and linear change over time. This is our basic average depression trajectory for the girls in our sample, and you can see that the levels of depression increase steadily from age 11 to age 18. Just for comparison purposes, I wanted to put up the trajectories of boys, and these trajectories remained flat. There was not a significant linear change nor quadratic change, so the boys basically showed the same level of depression at all ages included in our study. And you can see at the later ages, there's a much larger difference in depression between the teenage girls and their male peers. So going back to just girls, when we're looking at this graph, looks at the effect of neighborhood disadvantage, and the top line with the diamonds is for those girls in the most disadvantaged neighborhoods. So at all levels of all ages included in our study, they're experiencing much higher levels of depression than their peers in the lower disadvantaged neighborhoods, which is the bottom line with the squares. To summarize, we saw the highest level of depression in socioeconomically disadvantaged neighborhoods. As I mentioned, there was no difference in the peak ages of depression. Oh, whoops, that's a aggression. Depression. And there were the early differences persisted at all ages in the depression trajectories. The effects of social disorganization approached significance and had a similar pattern. Our data source had very high response rates for all of the different elements in the study, and we had 5 waves of data spanning 6th to 10th grades. One of the disadvantages was that we didn't see in this sample, we didn't have enough later term follow-up data to see a decline in depression over time to figure out what was going on with our older adolescents and young adults. Our sample also was large and demographically diverse, which was a nice strength of our study. It was also drawn from predominantly rural, non-metropolitan areas, which is also a strength, although it could possibly limit the generalizability of our findings to similar areas. And when we're talking about rural North Carolina, we're talking about areas with high proportions of African Americans and of families living below the poverty level. In terms of implications of these findings for prevention, we saw that girls' mental health outcomes do vary according to neighborhood borders in these rural communities. Our findings suggest that early interventions are needed to combat the levels of depression that we saw at the initial stages and to help reduce the increase in depression over time throughout adolescence. Our findings suggest that we should work to provide services to support young women who live in high-risk neighborhoods in our rural communities as well, as in some of the other urban areas, which tend to get quite a bit more attention. Thank you.